For whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. That's the cross. Denying yourself and what you want to do at various moments of your day. The little things. The little things. God sees your faithfulness in obedience in the little things. If you cannot obey in the little things, in your daily little choices, He can't make you ruler over much. He can't give you a greater ministry or greater power or whatever greater thing that you're desiring. If you cannot realize it's in the daily little things. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That's why I said, when you have a choice to make, you know, there, dying to self is repentance. Admitting you're wrong. Denying yourself is prayer. The flesh doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to study the Word. That's denying yourself. When you say, I will pray. I will put this, turn this TV off. I will put this newspaper down. I will take my lunch hour today and pray. That is denying yourself. This is being used of God when the Holy Spirit says, you know, somebody ask for prayer or come aside. Jesus took time alone with the Father to pray. He spent time with His Father. You can't have a relationship with anybody if you don't spend some time getting to know them, talking with them. And I'll tell you, the flesh doesn't want to do that. The flesh says, I'm too busy. I got to do this. Well, I got to make a living. I got to feed my family. The Lord understands that. He doesn't expect you, you know, if you do have that kind of a job, He doesn't expect you to pray on your face 8 hours a day. But if you will be willing to give Him a little time on your way to work, or just when you get up in the morning, begin to praise the Lord, begin to say one scripture even, just honor Him. Honor Him in as many opportunities as you can, and He will honor you. Amen. If you will begin to honor Him, He will honor you. He promised that. But you've got to draw nigh to Him, and then He'll draw nigh to you. You've got to take that step. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to put that flesh aside. It's not easy. But the Holy Spirit will help you. When you get over the hard part, then the joy will come. When you're called to intercede for someone, sometimes it is labor. I mean, it just feels like, you know, that like you're giving birth or your guts are going to come out, but you're just laboring to, you know, for someone that's in trouble or needs salvation or whatever. You're hurting. Don't run away from those things. Let the Lord use you in that way. But after the labor comes the joy. Thank you, Jesus. Whosoever will save his life or your own life or whatever you want at any particular time shall lose it. You won't be fulfilled. If you get that ice cream when you want to instead of when the Lord says, He'll call somebody else to come and buy you ice cream at a later date if that's the desire of your heart. Or, I mean, that's just a small example. You understand? If you will deny yourself. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. You'll be built up in the kingdom. You'll get greater revelation, and you'll move on with God and in the things of God, and your joy will get greater, your peace will get greater, your finances will get greater, the anointing on your life will get greater, but you've got to put forth some effort. You can't just lay back and expect the Holy Spirit to do everything for you. He won't do it. Because Jesus said, I will work with them. He said, He was working with them. He is in us and with us. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He doesn't do everything for us. He does things through us when we cooperate in obedience. Hallelujah. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, the cloud that God had on the Israelites by day so that the sun wouldn't burn them up, and the fire at night so that, you know, in the desert it's cold at night so that they could be warm. They passed through the sea, the Red Sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? Now, the Lord pointed out something here to me. All our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All baptized unto Moses. All did eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. As we look back to what Jesus did on the cross, we look back in time, they look forward. They all ate of the same spiritual manna from heaven. They all drank of the water that came out of the rock, spiritual water, it says, and that rock was Christ. Whether they knew it or not, I don't know. You know, I haven't received the full revelation of this, but partial at this time. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, or things of the world, as they also lusted. These things were for our example, for us to learn and grow by. With many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. When you are born again, it is like God takes you out of Egypt, representing the world. You cross the Red Sea, you're baptized into Jesus, you're born again. Now, whether you stay in that wilderness and wander around in that wilderness and die in that wilderness is up to you. It is up to you. They had a choice whether to murmur against God and Moses. And they murmured against God. God was not pleased. They spoke against God. They were constantly complaining against God and against Moses. And it caused them to continue to wander in what I've heard is an 11-day trip for 40 years until they died there. I don't want to die in the wilderness, do you? They all ate the same spiritual meat, it says. They all drank the same spiritual drink, it says. They all partook of God's blessing. They all partook of the things of God. But they did not make it into the promised land because of disobedience. Now turn to Romans 11. You know, these things are maybe things that need to sit with you a while, and maybe you need to meditate on and pray about. But these are the scriptures the Lord gave me. Romans 11, 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, talking about natural Israel, and thou, being a wild olive tree, the Gentiles, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, that's Jesus, the root, came out of the root of Jesse, the branch, and he's also the root, boast not against the branches. In other words, take heed to yourself. You were a wild olive tree, or if you're a Gentile and it's not Jewish, you were grafted in. They were broken off. and we'll see why. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. The root bears you. You don't bear the root. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, that's true. He's saying, well, yes. That they were broken off that we could be grafted in. When you take a tree, you've got to make some sort of cut to graft in another tree or branch from another tree. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. Because of unbelief, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Don't just lay back and say, well, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I'm born again. I don't sin. Because if you're still loving the world, the love of the Father is not in you. But fear. Be not high-minded, but fear. Take heed, he's saying. A godly fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. They were broken off. Why? Because of unbelief. They did not enter in because of unbelief. They stayed in the wilderness, wandering around, and died there. Take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Now, God is good, and he gives good gifts. But we have to rightly divide the word. Behold the goodness and severity of God. God is not mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. And even if you're born again, if you do not walk in obedience, if you do not choose to walk in obedience and lay aside yourself and deny yourself,
amen.
You cannot enter in. I know that is a hard saying, but that's what Jesus said. That's why we need so desperately the Holy Spirit to help us. None of us can do it on our own. Not a single one. Not a single one. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can go through. And that's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want us. See, these things were given for our admonition, as we read before. He doesn't want us to die in the wilderness and not enter into the promises. But he wants us to go through. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. How do you continue in his goodness? Through obedience to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Otherwise, so if you do not, thou also shalt be cut off. Now that's just plain. I didn't say that. The Lord did. And they also, here's the good news, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, they, you, anyone, whosoever will, if you abide not in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Turn to Hebrews 4. And I'm going to end with that, Lord willing. Hebrews 4, starting with verse 1. Let us, my brothers and sisters, therefore fear, that godly fear again, to take heed, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. This is not talking about a natural rest. My flesh wants to rest when it's not supposed to. When it's supposed to get out and mow or something. This is not talking about a natural rest. It is talking about the rest of believing the promises. The promises. It's a responsibility that you have to believe for your healing if you need healing. You can't just stay sick. I mean, you can if you want to, but if you do, you're in disobedience to the Word of God. It's your responsibility to believe for that promise of healing so that Jesus' blood is not shed in vain. It's your responsibility to believe for the promise of prosperity in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body, and in your finances. It's your responsibility to believe, to walk in faith for all the promises of God. And that includes denying yourself and taking up your cross. You've got to believe that He'll give you power to do that. You've got to believe that you can put the things of the flesh aside. You've got to believe. You've got to believe. And then, when you labor to believe, you have to labor to believe because doubt will come to fight you. And that's the good fight of faith. It's a battle. It's a fight of faith. You battle, you labor in that fight to believe. But then when you believe, when you finally get to that place, you enter the rest. You enter the rest where you just know that it's done. And you just can praise and worship and thank the Lord for it because you know that it's done. Whatever it is you need. Everybody needs something. It's your responsibility to believe God for it. Don't keep wandering around in the doubt of the wilderness and the snakes, the scorpions. That's the demons that come against your faith. Don't die in the wilderness. Why will ye die? He wants us to live. And to live, have abundant life. Maybe that's what you need to believe for. Maybe you don't have abundant life. We all have things to believe for. But it's our responsibility to believe for these things so that we don't die in the wilderness and get cut off as they did because of unbelief. It's not talking about just believing in Jesus as your Savior. That's the very beginning. That's when you come out of Egypt and cross that Red Sea. But when you go into that promised land, that's not heaven. That's not talking about heaven. Amen. They say people sing about the promised land. They think it's after you die and go to heaven. Excuse me. The promised land had enemies. There were still battles. There were giants. There were enemies to be defeated. But it was the land of blessing, of milk and honey. The desert was just a place of provision, just enough to get by, to get them across the Jordan. And it's the Holy Spirit that has to take you then across the Jordan to the greater things of God, walking in the blessings and the abundant life. That's the promised land that we want to walk in. The power, the anointing, abundant finances, abundant revelation of God. Things of the Spirit. There's abundance in the kingdom of God. Not just enough to get by. Not just enough to fill your need. Not just provision enough to get you through. But to cross on over, there is another river to be crossed. Another river. The Bible talks about baptisms. Baptisms. Not just one. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And be cut off, we might add from 1 Corinthians. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Faith, believing God, having confidence that God will fulfill His promises in them that heard it. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, if they shall enter into my rest, though the works were finished from the foundation of the world, the plan of God was from the foundation of the world. Let's skip down to verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time. As we read in Isaiah 61, this is still the day of acceptance. We're still in. We're not in the wrath of God. But the Bible says there is coming a time that the day of acceptance will come to an end. The day of grace will come to an end. And then there will be no more opportunity to enter into the rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time. Today is the day of salvation, as it is said. Today, if you will hear his voice, he is speaking to you today. And he speaks to you every day, if you will but listen. Harden not your heart. Harden not your heart, but hear the word of the Lord. For if Jesus, and if you'll look in your, I don't know, but my Bible has a little number here, and if you'll look in the side, this word, you know, Jesus' name is Yeshua in Hebrew. That's his real name. Jesus is just the English translation of it. And Yeshua is the exact same name of Joshua in the Old Testament. Yeshua. Same. So this, in this instance, is talking about Joshua. For if we can say Joshua here had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? See, they entered into the promised land, but that was still the old covenant. There was still no rest in that. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own work. So after you go through the labor and the hardship of putting your flesh aside and that suffering of that cross, and you labor to believe the word of God, you enter into a rest. And that's a glorious place to be, where you can just speak and it's so. You know that whatever you ask in Jesus' name, you have it. That's the word of God in John 14. Whatever you ask in his name, you can have it. But until you enter that rest, that may not be so in your life. Enter the rest of believing, as God did from his. Let us labor. You cannot just lay back and be lazy. You have to labor. The world is pulling, going, you know, just like a flow downstream. If you just lay back and do nothing, you're going to flow on down with it. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let us end with that and the encouragement that there is a rest to your struggle. But that rest comes through believing God's word. He wrote the Bible for you. He didn't write it for himself. He wrote it for you. That is just such a marvelous thing if you just got a revelation of that one thing, that God wrote the Bible for you. He spent time. He wrote all these wonderful things for you. And then, not only that, he gave you the Holy Spirit to understand it. You cannot understand it with the carnal mind. No amount of education will cause you to understand this Word of God. It is a spiritual book for spiritual people to understand by the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God can give you revelation into your mind of the Word. And I pray that you'll meditate on these scriptures and ask Him, constantly ask Him, to give you revelation, greater and greater revelation. And you will be so joyous, and it is so glorious, and you will just grow. God will honor you for that. If you will honor Him by seeking Him, seeking revelation of His Word, seeking to obey Him in all the little choices that you have every day, then your life can be different. You can walk into a higher elevation of God than you ever dreamed possible. Because He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Stretch yourself out there and believe for greater things. Greater power, greater anointing. He honors faithfulness in little things.